Welcome to the Elijah Streams podcast. Our mission is to encourage you in your faith through a unique blend of patriotism and prophecy. And now, here's your host, Steve Schultz.
Hey, happy Monday, everybody. Steve Schultz here. I'm the founder of both the Elijah List and Elijah Streams, along with my wife, 28 years ago. And we are going strong, bringing you the voice of the prophets. Every day, we're going to have, by the way, tomorrow's guest is Krista Elisha, depending on how she pronounces that, She will be our guest, and she's always a breath of fresh air for the younger side and very, very gifted prophetically. We're going to bring on Donna Rigney here in just a few moments. She's been got a lot of revelation about Iran and Israel, and she was just there in Israel. So I'm very excited about that. Anyway, welcome to the broadcast. We're going to have fun today. I've been looking forward to being here with Donna because I haven't been with her for a long time. So we keep missing each other, passing the night. So, all right, let's go ahead and run a quick well spot. And a reminder that for those of you who are maybe new or just you've heard this before, we just really count on those day-to-day, month-to-month giving to keep those wells going in one fresh water well on average every single day. There's usually two or three being drilled at the same time, and we do 30 a month. So that's one a day in Uganda. And so we are just helping so many people, changing their lives. So we're very, very excited about the well, so keep that coming. That's probably that and Egypt are our primary sources. Then we've done some stuff into Iran as well, but that's a developing situation because we can't get boots on the ground yet. But we brought you some video there last week, I think it was. All right, without further ado, let's go ahead and play one of our video spots of the wells in Uganda. Here we go with that.
Many people do not have access to safe, clean water, which is why we have made it our mission to help change that. It takes time, prayer, and research to identify the right locations for new water wells. As we discover a village that could use clean water, we travel there to get to know the people. We cover a lot of ground and spend countless hours on our way to visit the unclean water sources and back again as we search for the ideal spot for the new well. The exciting part comes next. The surveyor confirms that the water is present, and then the drilling team is mobilized. Water eventually springs forth. The community's happiness explodes. A realization that sets in and know that God has heard their cry for help. Following the completion of the well and the installation of the custom sign, a celebration praising and thanking God is held. Many come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Destinies are being changed around the globe, one clean water well at a time.
Donate online at ElijahStreams.com/donate. Or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
Oh, man, those videos never get old for me. I don't know about you, but I mean, it's hot in Uganda, and it's hard work there, and I've been there, and you sweat it, but look at those beautiful people. You're changing their lives. If they didn't have that water well where all the dancing around there, they'd be hiking in that hot sun for sometimes 2 or 3 miles in one direction and then back. And then they do it again in the evening hours to get more water in their mud brick homes. It's just changing lives and people get saved. We showed one where Mike and Lori came on, and this one man had showed up as a witch doctor in the area, and he was drunk and all of that. Before the whole story was over, Lori had a word about a guy named, I can't think of his name right now, but she knew the name. Was it Moses, right? I think it was Moses. He got saved and is getting redeemed and delivered and all that stuff. I don't have the latest on him, but so many stories where people come to me like, you know, one day when we're there in the sweet by and by, and that young man will come up to many of you who have given, and they'll say, you gave to the water well, and I was a witch doctor, and now I'm here in heaven with you. It's amazing. That the rewards are great. So, all right, God bless you all, and it's time to bring on Donna Rigney, so here's Donna. Donna, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's so good to see you, Steve.
So good to see you, fresh back from Israel. I know we're going to jump into that in a minute, so I don't even know where to start now. Did you already announce your new change in life when you were on the show last time? You told people you're married, and so yeah. I got the word. I was here at home, and Julie texted me and said, Donna just told us she's remarried and all that. So that's wonderful. I know a lot of people, including us, we prayed you in and all that. And well, congratulations on that. So was this your and your new husband's first time in Israel or what?
Just women went on this trip. So he
wasn't even there. Okay, got it.
Right. Yeah. So this was my first time going to Israel.
Okay, excellent. And so you were up there on Mount Carmel. Is that one of the places?
Yes.
I know that was on your list. I don't want to jump ahead if you've got an order you're going to share this in. But yeah. Well, why don't you do this, Donna? Why don't you just jump in where you want to start here?
So, okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to start with point two. Okay. Because this kind of leads up to the trip and how God just got things set up for us that it was amazing. Now, when I look back and I say, oh my goodness, look what he did. Look what he did. About maybe a month ago, a woman came to our service. She was from Iran. Oh, and so, oh boy, the anointing is on me strong.
Yeah.
So while we were worshiping, the Lord spoke to me and said that because she was from Iran, that we could, as a congregation, worship together with her on behalf of Iran and ask God to open portals over Iran.
Wow.
So we did that.
And you did that in that meeting. By the way, before you came on today, I thought, you know, there's always new people. Can you take like about 2 minutes and say, what does that mean to someone who's never heard that? What does that mean, open a portal?
Okay, what it is what God has shown me is that some certain regions are like is like almost like a cement ceiling over us where the heaven is closed. Okay. You see that in the book of Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel was praying, he got a revelation, and he wanted the understanding of it. So he prayed and fasted for 21 days, and it says that an angel had the revelation to bring to him, but couldn't get it to him because the prince of Persia resisted him. And so another angel came and fought with him, and he was able to get it through to him. That's a picture of a closed.
Yeah, and ironically, the prince of Persia is Iran. They didn't call it, they called it Persia back then. And then another time, wasn't that Elam or something like that?
Right. Elam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that opens up. It's as so if God want to open a window.
What it is God has been assigning to me to go out and get portals open. I don't open the portals. He said, when a group of people gather together, and the majority of them come as a result of watching Elijah's streams.
Oh, wow.
It's people that love God, worship God, and live a lifestyle of worship. They don't just go to a worship service and go home and live the way they want to. They really serve God. He said, when I have a group of people like that worshiping together, angels are released and they will open portals over that region. And what he does with me as a seer, he shows me the portals getting open. That was a picture that I had sent in last time. I think it was, I forgot which county, St. John's County, I think, that we had opened a portal there. You could see the beams of light coming through.
It probably doesn't always have a beam of light. It's different things, right? It's God will just
every
show
time
you,
something yeah. different shows okay. up. When some people take pictures, something will show up. Or something happens right while we're there.
Is it also kind of the same thing as, you know, Jacob sleeps on a rock and then the heavens are opened above him? And he said, surely God is in this place because he sees angels going up. And that was a portal, right?
Yes. Yes. Like Jacob's ladder.
Windows of heaven are open.
Yeah.
And then God can move up there, which is weird that he limits himself to coming down as freely as he would want to because we ask now. If we don't tell him to open the heavens,
right.
He might need those prayers, right?
Right. And also what happens is when the heavens are closed, this is what God has shown me, is that our prayers sometimes can't get through. But a lot of times we pray and we don't get any answers. It's because that heaven is closed over us and the enemy is just resisting our prayers from getting into heaven. And wow. He says, when there's an open portal, our prayers easily can get to him and quickly and easily, when the portals open, what God wants to send to us gets to us without any restriction. So what happened was, I'll tell you this real quick. We opened a portal over our county, Flagler County. We had already had one over the building, but God's been assigning us to go out to different counties and get the whole county in Florida an open portal over it. So we're going from county to county, five or six already, and till we get the whole state done. So we're on assignment.
But, and the big ones that are the most hardcore counties, they're harder to open, I would think.
Well, it just, no? It's happening. We went to Jacksonville. We did St. Augustine. We've done tough places and they get opened.
They do. Okay.
It's wonderful. When God has a group of people worshiping, there's nothing that stops him.
Oh, that's really good.
We did it at Flagler County. 8 days later, the Holy Spirit showed up so powerful in our service. The overshadowing presence of the Holy Spirit fell. The whole congregation was slain in the Spirit for 45 minutes. No music playing, nobody speaking, just in total silence. The Holy Spirit ministered to every single person. Since then, every single week, the Holy Spirit shows up in one way or another, whether it's everybody laughing, or one week I saw a white fluffy blanket, a healing blanket fell on everyone. A lot of healings happen every week. And that's because the Lord told me, he said, this is because the portal was open and I'm able to move here freely as I want to. So it's exciting to me when God sends us to someplace like Israel.
Yeah.
Yes. What's God going to do? So.
Well, jump in. Yeah. I interrupted on the portal thing, but yeah, jump in on your story there.
Okay. So anyway, so this woman, we prayed and we believed that God opened a portal in Iran. Let me get to my notes so I don't jump over into where I'm not. The Sunday before we left for Israel, again, we're in the spirit and I see Jesus. He comes into our congregation and he passes out white slips of paper to everybody. And before he gives everyone a slip of paper, he kisses it. And then he hands us the slip of paper. And they were assignments. He was passing out assignments. Wow. And because he kissed the paper, I knew he was saying, these assignments are from my heart to bring my love. Where everyone got different assignments. We, a couple of us from our church, were going to Israel. Our assignment was to go and bring the love of Jesus to Israel. And that he would be with us and he would manifest his love through us. I knew that from this assignment that was given to us. So he was setting us up. Had the woman come to church. We prayed and got a portal opened over Iran. Now, look what God's done in Iran already. It's amazing. Amazing what he's doing there with lightning speed.
Yeah. And man, talk about bombastic entrance. And it's so, there's no words to describe. You see Iranian citizens, and a lot of them are believers, dancing in the streets and on rooftops while they're watching their country be bombed, and they're celebrating. It's like the most bizarre juxtaposition. There's my big word for it. There's bombings. Thank you, Lord. The Israel and the United States are bombing our country. Thank you. It's like you can't make that up, right?
No, I know. They know God's rescuing them.
Yeah, that's amazing.
This is a big rescue event we're watching. God rescue the people of Iran, and he's rescuing Israel because Iran was the biggest threat to Israel.
Yeah.
So we're watching God do wonderful.
Well, it's very much like when Moses, God meets Moses and said, the cries of my people have come out before me. I mean, the Iranians must have filled those bowls over and over and over. And God says, I can't wait any longer. I've got to rescue these people. Their cries are coming up before me. And yeah, so anyway, all right. Wow.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful time we're living in. I was invited to go on this tour to Israel. And the Lord has spoken to me and he said, I'm sending you to open portals and to release my glory there. So, and here I'm watching God do all these wonderful things in all these other places that we went many times to Minnesota and released the glory and portals were open over Minnesota. And we're seeing Minnesota on the news all the time of the tremendous exposure of evil. Because when light comes in, what's been in hiding in the darkness is exposed.
You have then a fuller understanding that not only does God show up, but when God shows up, light exposes darkness. Wow. So you're seeing all of this corruption and everything bad happening, and it's all in the news, and you realize, well, we opened a portal over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would, God, why are you sending us time and time again to Minnesota?
Yeah.
And to different places in Minnesota. And this is what God's been doing, opening portals there, because he wanted to expose what's been going on and hiding there. Because if something stays in hiding, you can't do anything about it. You can't bring justice for the people.
No.
So
no.
This is, you know, I think of it like you go into a dark room and you turn the light on and there's a bunch of cockroaches in the room. If you
can
picture that. And they all go scattering because the light's on and they're exposed. That's what's happening in these places where portals are being opened. Wickedness is being exposed and God's goodness is coming in to replace it. So God's power is able to come and invade and transform places.
I still remember, this had to be about 2013 or 14, I went on a cruise with Kat. It was her cruise, but she had a word on that. So that's 12 years ago, and I was just getting to know Kat. But she informed us, and all of us were sound asleep as far as what's going on, we now know. But she says it's about to really look bad, and she says you need to understand for the Lord, things are not getting worse. They're getting exposed.
Yeah.
So she warned us that what we were about to begin to see was not because things are getting horribly, horribly bad. They're finally getting exposed and cleaned up. So, yeah, the cleanup's been going on for sure since those times. So, anyway, cool.
It's so necessary.
Yeah.
God knows what we need, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to pour the disinfectant of his wonderful Holy Spirit. It's going to come and just cause everything to become holy.
So good. You know,
the Holy Spirit is the holiness of God.
Yeah.
So we're going to see that. So getting back to what happened, so I was invited to go on this trip, and you know, the Lord started speaking to me about it. But during the time of preparation, I started getting a prophetic knowing within me that war was going to break out when we were there, and that the airways were going to be closed over Israel.
Whoa, you knew that before you went, huh? And you still went. Okay. Well, there's a lesson right there.
Steve. I'm like, God, are you sure you want us to go?
Wow.
Because, you know, I had just gotten married and I didn't want to leave my husband and know that that war was going to break out. And I wouldn't know when we would get back if the airways were closed. You know, So I was like, God. So, yes, he kept telling me, yes, I was to go. And so he would lead me to scriptures like Abraham putting Isaac on the altar.
Mm.
That he required that sacrifice of Abraham to show that he loved God more than he loved his son. But it was also a sacrifice that he was laying down, something that was so precious to him, to God. And what came forth from that sacrifice, the Jewish nation and the Messiah.
Yeah.
So when we lay a sacrifice down to God, he doesn't take it lightly. It produces tremendous, tremendous fruit. And what he's shown me is if he's leading us to sacrifice in some way, to unite our sacrifice with Jesus's sacrifice on the cross. Say, I unite the sacrifice that you're asking me to make with the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Take my little tiny sacrifices, unite it with this enormous sacrifice and use it for good. So I did that. God, use it for good for Israel. Use it for good for the people of Iran.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of.
By the way, how long were you stuck? For lack of a better word, you were there by a divine appointment, as it turns out. But how long were you there?
We were there for a week.
Okay.
I was supposed to come home on this past Friday, but actually got home on the day before, on the Thursday.
Really?
But God was faithful. He got me home a day early.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So we have fulfilled what God wanted us to fulfill, and his hand was on us. You know, when God asks you to sacrifice, he's right there with you, helping you to do it. We were not one bit afraid. I'm jumping ahead of my story, but his peace was on us.
Okay.
So I went with the team. We went on the trip, and so let me. I'm going to tell you what happened when we went to Mount Carmel.
Okay.
So this was on the Friday. We got there on the Thursday. So on Friday, the tour took us to Mount Carmel. And when we got to Mount Carmel, we were at the top of it, okay? And we're all gathered together worshiping. And then I started seeing in the spirit what was going on.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Streams podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahStreams.com/give.
And I saw a huge drill, like a hand drill, you know, like the kind that they had years ago.
Yeah.
Like this, yeah. With the drill. It was silver. It was enormous over us. And then I saw angels with all they all had these drills in their hand. And they were passing them out to other angels. And the angels went and started drilling holes in the ceiling, this thick cement ceiling, it looked like, over Mount Carmel. So they're drilling holes in it. And after lots of holes got drilled, I see the Father lean over and breathe into the holes, just his big breath. And through the holes, fire fell. Fire fell on everyone that was there. And then, as we worshiped in this fire, the fire exploded, and it just was this massive explosion of a fire that went all the way up into heavens, in the heavens, and it just caused that whole ceiling to just be destroyed. So the heavens were opened over Mount Carmel. And I knew that what we were seeing was the fire of God's approval on the sacrifice that we had laid down. Because, you know, you could tell by the news that this was a tough time to go. They were considering postponing the tour, but then last minute they said, no, we're going to have it. That it was a sacrifice for the people that went. They left their families. It was all women and just a couple of men that were help heading it.
Well, I mean, you could have, God doesn't remove the freedom of choice. Is it or is it not true that after he showed you that, before you flew in, you could have said, I'm not going to do it, Lord. He wouldn't have forced you on that plane, right? You had to willingly go knowing you're going to get shut down. Yeah. Because of a war. Wow, that's pretty, that'll preach.
Yeah, and then, oh boy. So now I'm watching this happen. This is before the war broke out.
Yeah.
Oh, this was the day before. So now I'm seeing the fire, this fiery explosion. And then I know the Lord's giving me the download. What happened immediately after when Elijah offered the sacrifice on Mount Carmel, and the fire fell on his sacrifice, the fire of God's approval. He said, I approve of this sacrifice. And the people all yelled, the Lord, he is God. This is what's happening in this hour. People are realizing the Lord, he is God. And then right after that, the prophets of Baal were killed. Elijah told them, gather them all together, and he had them slaughtered. And then after that, Elijah rose with great strength. He outran Ahab's chariot. So I knew God was showing me that the wicked were going to be taken out. Those that propose, you know, promote murder and the killing of innocent people, all the wickedness that is entailed in that wicked entity, Baal, that was going to be taken out. And so there's a statue the next day after the war broke out. Then the next day, the people in Iran burnt that statue down. And I knew God was showing me, this is what's happening right now. Because he has people that were willing to sacrifice, were willing to come and lay a sacrifice down on the altar of their lives, their time, to obey him, to serve him, to worship him, that this fire of his approval was coming, and the prophets of Baal were going to be destroyed. And the people in Iran, they don't know that this is going on. They lit this statue on fire. And I know that's a prophetic sign. This entity, this demon entity is being taken out.
Yeah, I mean, that's Baal. Do we know any context about that? Were they believers or were they just people destroying symbols? I'm just curious if it was, how much of it was like a church gathering to destroy?
I honestly don't know. Yeah. I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, but I mean, the bottom line is it's being destroyed. So that's all that matters. Tearing down the altars of Baal. Who was it that was on my show that was talking about that? I can't think of it last week. Who? Yeah. No, it was when I was on the show. Well, Robbie could have talked about it too, but yeah. Anyway, okay, keep going. I didn't want to stop there.
And that God's prophets. So one thing is being taken down, and then the other is going to be raised up. We're going to see godly men and women be put in positions of authority. All right. I'm like, this is what's happening right now. I was seeing that on Mount Carmel. Now, a few hours later, we went to the Sea of Galilee.
Okay.
And we're at the Sea of Galilee, and I started seeing visions while we were worshiping. I saw Jesus. He was enormous. And he came to each person, and he brought them out on the Sea of Galilee, and we just danced with him on the, just on the Sea of Galilee. We're dancing. Wow. And as we're dancing with Jesus, he proclaimed, "I am making you fishers of men."
Yay.
And then I saw the water had just below the surface was a whole bunch of fish. And the fish jumped up out of the water into boats where nobody was fishing with fishing nets or with fishing poles. The fish just jumped into the boats. And I knew he was telling me that the harvest is coming, a great harvest, as we're intimate with Jesus.
Yeah.
Spending time with him in intimate fellowship, the dancing, okay? The impossible is going to be made possible. We were dancing on the water, and we would be bringing in a great harvest of souls with very little effort. We weren't doing anything, just dancing with Jesus, and these fish were just jumping up into the boats.
And was that, this is probably an obvious question, but was that specifically a word for Israelis coming to the Lord, or was that in general the revival on the earth? How did you take that?
I saw it as in general for the revival on the earth.
Okay.
But I also know it's for all the Middle East too.
Yeah.
Very, very strongly that it's for the Middle East.
Okay.
So after that, while somebody was there with us, they took pictures, and they took a picture of the Sea of Galilee, and on the top of the sea was a cloud formation. A cloud just rested right on the top of the Sea of Galilee. You can kind of see it near the mountain in the back. There's a cloud resting there. And then if you expand the picture from the water up to the heavens, look, you can see it like a staircase. It looks like a ladder.
It does look like ladder, straight up.
Straight up. Yeah.
Look at that. That's very clear to me.
Yep. It was, we were like, oh my goodness, look
That's
what God's
really
doing.
There.
So excited.
Yeah.
So that was right after I saw that vision. And then the people that were conducting the tour told us the spot where we were standing at the Sea of Galilee was the place. Now, they didn't know what I saw. I did not have the place to share that. But was the place where Peter stepped out of the boat, walked on water. It was the place where Jesus called Peter and told him, I'm calling you to be a fisher of men. And it was also the place where he told his disciples to cast the net over onto the other. They were fishing and they hadn't caught anything. And he said, cast your net over to the other side of the boat. And when they did, they took in this huge catch of fish.
Was this the 153 fish one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Our guide, when we went there, told the story beyond that, what that meant. Did your guide tell you that?
No.
He wasn't even a believer. He told us later he's not a believer, but he knew the story. And he said, because of the Jewish, the Hebrew and Jewish gematria, each number means something. He said when 153 fish were counted, 153 meant in gematria, I am God.
I am God?
I am God. That's what the 153 translated to in gematria. So I thought that was stunning. So we were at that same spot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were just like enthralled between what God had shown me in, you know, the morning at Mount Carmel and now with the Sea of Galilee, that, you know, I just knew God was moving there powerfully. Now, a few hours later, we're hearing about what happened with Iran.
Yeah.
That, Israel had gone and bombed Iran. And that United States could join in, and that the Ayatollah, but it took a while before we found out any news, because we didn't have any access to anything, that the Ayatollah was taken out with a whole bunch of his men. And I knew that was the prophets of Baal, what I had seen in the spirit.
Oh, sure enough. Yeah.
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 Yeah,
with lightning and everything that God's doing lately is with lightning speed. A year ago, January 1st, I think it was New Year's Eve a year ago, three or four buildings in Washington, D.C. all got hit with lightning. And I was like, God, what are you trying to say through this? I know prophetically it meant something. And what he showed me was that he was going to be doing things with lightning speed.
That's so good.
But this whole year, we've been praying, God, do it with lightning speed. We have lightning rounds at church, too, where we're praying with lightning speed for things to happen. And we're seeing God do things suddenly and so quickly.
So encouraging. So encouraging. Yeah, you know that. I've said this with Brian Simmons. I asked him one time, you know that scripture that says, you know, the woman, I think it's the widow that just cried out day and night, give me justice for my enemies, give me justice. And then when Brian Simmonson, he's a translator of it, I called him one day and I said, could that, you know, it says, will he not come quickly for those who cry out day and night? And I said, that's kind of an oxymoron. If you're crying out day and night, that's not exactly quickly because it's day and night and day. I said, could that be equally translated, will he not come suddenly? He said, yes, it could be translated suddenly, and that would be accurate. Will he not suddenly come?
Yeah.
And you cry out day and night. So it's like, that's why we sometimes pray and pray and pray, and then all of a sudden, he can't take it anymore. He has to.
Right. And we're in that suddenly hour. I have a little word to share afterwards that the Lord spoke. And that's what he said. That's the hour we're in, the hour of suddenlies.
Awesome.
Oh. Awesome. And so people are excited because they're seeing God do things with such speed, so quickly. It's great. Wonderful. Oh. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about, I'm going to go to point six. Okay.
Got it. All right.
For many months before this all happened, the Lord's been speaking to me about the significance and the importance of carrying his glory.
Yeah.
He likened it to Mary when Mary had Jesus, and how important it was for the whole world that what Mary's role was to, you know, birth Jesus to the world. And he said that it's important that those of us that have the glory are like the Ark of the Covenant. And we're carrying the glory into places. I've seen the Ark of the Covenant when I was in Minnesota ministering. I think it was Virginia, Minnesota. I saw the Ark coming in. And God is saying, through his people, his vessels that carry his glory, he's literally coming in like the Ark being carried in to regions. Ooh. And the Ark, only the priests could carry the Ark. We know what happened when David had the oxen carrying the ark, and stumbled, and Uzzah reached out to steady it. Oh, that he died, because only the priests were supposed to. It's more that with treating it like it was common, treating the glory like it's common and like it's not something special, and that God wants the glory treated as what it is, the presence of God.
Yeah.
It needs to be treated very special. So the Lord has spoken to me when we had finished with Mount Carmel and the Sea of Galilee, and I was in prayer that night. He said, you've finished your assignment. I want you to leave and go home. Oh, and I knew it was because of the glory, because he treasures the glory, and he wants the glory to be treasured.
You're saying you got to the point where you helped usher in the glory through your obedience and intercession and worship, and then God says, okay, now it's time to go. Is that
right? Kind of it? And so he led me to the scripture, and the scripture was in Matthew chapter 1, verses 17 through 25, and chapter 2, 1 through 15. And this is the scripture here, that the angel appeared in a dream to Mary. I'll read it. This was the account of Mary giving birth to Jesus and Joseph receiving a warning for an angel in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother, escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So I told the rest of the people on our team that God's spoken to me that he wants us to get ready to leave. And so we met with the leaders, and we did not know that this bombing had happened when we met with them. And I don't even think they knew. So at that point, they said, you know, we're looking into some options and whatnot. And so then after that, we found out about the bombing, and that, so they shut down the rest of the tour.
And do you mean the bombing, like a missile hit in Tel Aviv or something like that?
No, the initial bombing.
The initial bombing hit. You didn't even know it had started.
No, at that point, it was after the Sea of Galilee and Mount Carmel. Then the Lord spoke to me that night and said, "You're done."
Okay. Now,
God knew.
Yeah.
He wanted us out of there. And so then when the tour spoke with us, and then a little while later, they had a meeting with everyone. And they said, because of what's happened with the war that started, we were ending the tour, no more. We weren't going anyplace. We were in Galilee at the time. We were just going to stay there. And they were going to put their heads together and figure out how they would get us out. And so we just felt that we were supposed to go with the tour and not try to go on our own.
Are you going to tell people how you got out? Because it ties with that scripture, right? Okay, I'll make sure you don't forget that part.
So the Monday, so now this is Saturday. So Monday, they announce that we're going to go on buses to Egypt. And that we were going to go to Cairo, Egypt, to get flights out of Egypt. And that the other airports weren't safe or weren't closed. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, we're going to Egypt. When I read that scripture, I'm like, no, I don't even know where Egypt is.
I mean, I was in Egypt in April with Yvonne and Mina. We did our own tour in Egypt. But how long of a drive was that on the bus to Egypt when you got to Cairo?
Hours and hours and hours. 2 days, full days. We stopped in hotels at night and slept in a hotel.
Wow.
Crack of dawn in the morning, and hours and hours. It took from where we were in Galilee to drive all the way across into Egypt, and then drive, once we got into Egypt, to Cairo.
Well, I guess it beats 40 years wandering in the desert, because it's the same route, right?
That's what I was telling everybody. We're not on a donkey. Like Joseph had to take Mary on a donkey. How long that must have taken for him to get her up in the middle of the night, you know, with the baby Jesus, and go travel to into Egypt from Bethlehem. That's, you know, tough.
Yeah.
I said, we don't have it so bad.
That's the truth. But that's a long way. That would have taken months if they, that wasn't a weekend trip or anything.
And when we're traveling through Egypt, I was like, it's so rocky and hilly. It's not just smooth. You think it might be smooth like a desert.
I remember, we flew in April. I think it was April, May. And we were coming into the airport, right? Their main airport in Cairo.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, Egypt was beautiful people there. So there's no criticism of the people. Right. It was all dusty and muddy, even on the runways. It was like this dirty, dusty, everything was dusty. I've never seen so much desert, even on the runway itself. And then you got inside the airport. It was a pretty modern airport, actually, but outside.
So I'm like, you know what? We don't have it so bad, guys. It could be way worse. So we had a flight that we were supposed to leave on Wednesday to get out, but that was overbooked. We had no seats. So we figured we better rebook. And so we rebooked it for the following day on the Thursday.
Okay.
And so the woman that was with me as my companion, we were in the room and we were in worship and we were praying. And now we're in Egypt. We're in Cairo. Okay. And we're worshiping and praying. And I start seeing portal get opened over Egypt.
Really?
I'm like, oh my goodness.
Awesome, Donna. Awesome. And you were you trying to open them, or were they just opening?
Wow. No, I had no clue. All I knew was this is the way God was getting us safely out of Israel, safely, was through Egypt. I had no idea, a thought that God was going to do this. So I'm like, how can this be, God? Where it's just two of us in this hotel room worshiping. And, you know, usually has to be a group of people worshiping that angels are sent to and released. So it's just the two of us. But I'm seeing this, a big pick, like an ice pick, and a huge sledgehammer in his big angel's hand. And he's hammering this ceiling over Egypt. He's hammering this ice pick into it. And then I see a whole bunch of angels come down through that hole. They're all carrying buckets, and these buckets are filled with the blood of Jesus. And they've got big, long-handled scrub brushes, you know, thick brushes, and they're putting them in the pails of the blood, and they're scrubbing the ground in Egypt. They're going all through Egypt, scrubbing the ground and washing it clean. And I knew it was from generations of wickedness and evil and witchcraft and, you know, things.
Well, it makes you think of, while you're saying that, I'm thinking this was the same Egypt where they're putting blood on the doorpost so they can get out of town right after that. But it was the salvation of the people. I mean, the literal keeping them safe so they could flee to the promised land. So so this is that in a different generation.
Wow. I didn't even think of that, Steve. That is so profound. How powerful.
Help Elijah Streams continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making Elijah Streams and the Elijah Streams podcast possible. Visit ElijahStreams.com/give and become a partner today.
So I'm seeing that, and then I see another group of angels as these angels are scrubbing the Egypt with the blood of Jesus, come in and just rout demons out. And they're just routing the demons out. Now we're in the hotel room and there's a knock at the door. So I go to the door, I open the door, and it's the cleaning lady wanting to know if she can clean the room. And she's bringing us some extra water. And I knew God was saying, I'm giving you a confirmation that I am cleaning Egypt. Right. You saw a portal open, I'm cleaning. I'm like, oh my goodness, God is so powerful.
You know, I got to tell you this too, because I was just fessing you're telling this because we were processing that while we were there. It wasn't my favorite place to go, I'll be honest with you, but because of all those things we described, but I was in my room. I didn't go on one of the excursions when we were there. And I was saying, Lord, this place is filled with false gods and Muslim. Everyone's Muslim over there almost. And it's a minor group that are the Christians, though they used to have a lot of Christians in Egypt. And I was saying, Lord, how will you ever, ever take care of this? The massive Muslim population on the earth, how could you, it's almost like saying to God, how could you be powerful enough? And God said, do you see anyone worshiping pharaohs anymore? That was the worship of the day, was you worship Pharaoh as God.
Right.
And God's saying, we went into the museums and looked at mummies of the dead pharaohs. There's nobody worshiping pharaohs anymore. And God was saying, it's that easy. You know, I can wipe that whole thing out in one day. I'll close them up in the sea, and it's done. Not the people. I'm just saying the false religion, the doctrine,
and set the people free from the oppression they're under. Just look at the women walk around in black, total black garments, and just a little slit across their eye.
Yeah,
I feel so bad for them. The women are so oppressed, and I'm sure the men are oppressed too, because demons rule. When you're worshiping demons, they rule.
Yeah.
And it's just to know that, you know, God had a plan behind sending us to Egypt
to
escape from the bombings that was going on in Israel. And his plan was to get portals opened in Egypt.
That's so good.
While I'm in the room, Ceci's now, my friend Ceci, she's worshiping. And she sees Jesus. She doesn't know what I'm seeing in the spirit. She shared with me, she saw Jesus sitting on the throne looking down on Egypt. And then she got the scripture. I'll read the scripture. This is from Isaiah 19, verses 18 through 21. Okay. In that day, five cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. One of them will be called the City of the Sun. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt and a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, he will send them a savior and defender, and he will rescue them. So the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day, they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and keep them.
Gee. Yeah, that was.
So I shared with her what I saw. So we rejoiced that our flight, which we wanted to get home. I wanted to get home really bad.
Yeah.
But we were like, God, you know what's best. He kept us safe in the hotel that we were in. We were in a 5-star hotel. We were in Galilee. And we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, buffets. We were well taken care of. We did have to go to bomb shelters, but But that was not a big deal. It's just a room in the interior of the hotel that has no windows.
Okay.
And we were all gathered in there. We would worship some of the times. Other times, we would share what God was doing in our lives. And yeah, we wouldn't be in there that long, maybe half hour, 45 minutes. Oh, so whenever there was some, you know, bombing coming in or they perceived some danger, the alarms would go off and we would go in the bomb shelters. Yeah. That was the worst of what we endured, which was really nothing. You know, when you think, like you said, what the Israelites went through getting out of Egypt and what Mary and Joseph had to do, had to endure.
Yeah, and you remember that. I often think of this. I was in Nigeria and I spoke before a bunch of pastors in 2000. I was out of my element, but 15,000 African pastors, but they were all proud of Egypt because basically Africa was Egypt and Egypt was Africa in the day. It was kind of the whole continent almost. And they are very, the Christian church in Africa, which is, Egypt is in the continent of Africa, if I'm getting it right, they say that, you know, of course there's a scripture that says, woe to those who go down to Egypt. There was almost a curse on it. And then with that thing still in the air, with that scripture, God then tells Mary and Joseph, get to Egypt. They're going to kill the boy. And so they see themselves as the protector of the Messiah, of the baby Jesus. And that's something to be proud of. And they're, especially the Coptic Christians, they're very proud that the continent of Africa, and especially Egypt, took care of Jesus, which is such a weird thing, because the very thing is like God's payback is, okay, you oppress my people, now you're going to get to do the opposite and take care of the Messiah that the blood was all about. He's going to come down and hang out with you guys for a few years, you know.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. You know, Steve, over and above what you could think or imagine.
Yeah.
What our God does. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He is so totally amazing. The things that he's doing and the things that he's done, when you really look at it and you know, just let the Holy Spirit bring you the revelation, the depth of it, you're in awe of God.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, I still don't understand how this could happen when God told me this is how portals are opened. And it was just the two of us worshiping. So now we leave the next day to fly out. So we're on the plane.
Okay.
And this woman's, there's three seats. So this woman sits beside Ceci and I. And she's telling us that she was with a church group there in Israel. She had arrived prior to when we arrived. So they had seen most of the things in. They had gone to all the different sites. And when they went to all the different sites, they worshiped. They worshiped at all the sites. Now they have to evacuate like we did and go to Egypt. So they had to get same thing like we did, the charter buses, get on the buses, and they traveled 2 days like we did, but they worshiped the whole time.
My goodness.
They're over 30 people on the buses worshiping. I was, oh my goodness, look what God did. He sent that team there, unbeknownst to them, and they're just worshiping God. And they had a little, she said that they would worship. They would give a little teaching, and then they would have a time of silence where they would just meditate on what God was saying, and then they would worship. They worshiped the whole time, going all the way through. Look what God did. Look what he did.
That's amazing.
Set us up. He knew what our assignment was, and he knew what was needed for us to be successful. He told me months ago, I will never ask you or my children to do anything that they're going to fail at.
Oh, that's a good word right there.
Is that powerful?
Yeah, because a lot of people don't believe that, because we've all had experiences where it seemed like we failed.
Yeah.
But, you know, failure looks different in the human perspective. You know,
people thinking, why did God send you to Israel?
Yeah.
War breaks out while you're there 2 days after you get there and everything stops.
Yeah.
But God accomplished what he needed to accomplish. We were kept safe. We were fine. And he got us out. He got us out through Egypt and then did this incredible work in Egypt as well. Well, he did that at the Sea of Galilee. He did it at Mount Carmel. Do wonderful things. What he needed, the sacrifice, he needed a sacrifice to be laid down. Just like he needed Elijah to lay that sacrifice down on Mount Carmel. So that everyone would know the Lord, he is God. And that sacrifice causes his fire to fall. He said, I need a sacrifice for what I have to do in Israel, what I have to do in Iran, and what I'm planning on doing in Egypt, in the Middle East, what I'm planning on doing. I need a sacrifice. He needed a group of women and some men to gather together and lay a sacrifice on the altar because we love him, just because we love him, and he asked us to do it. Ooh, and look what he does with it. It's phenomenal. When you step up and you look at it and say, this is awesome what God has done.
So
you know, I can share what he showed me too. This is really cool. So this was the Sunday before we left.
Okay.
To head home. And he spoke this word to me. He said, over and above what you could think or imagine, we have planned for you and for this world. All right. So God's planned to do things for us individually, over and above what we could think or imagine. And he's planning on doing that for the world. Okay. The whole world. He said, we have planned nothing and no one can or will stop me from doing what I say. So he's saying, what we've planned to do, no one and nothing is going to stop me from doing what I said I'm going to do.
That's really good. He said,
declare what I say and watch me perform it. This is the hour you are in, the hour of suddenlies. Just what you were talking about a little while ago.
Yeah.
With lightning speed, God is doing these things. It's the hour of suddenlies. Suddenly, God's appearing. And you know, when God does things suddenly, you can't think, well, it happened because of this or it happened because of that. It's only God could do these things when they happen so suddenly. So he said, this is the hour, not just for the nations, but for us individually in our lives. And he's also told me, too, this is the time for us to get back seven times what the enemy has stolen from us in seasons past. Okay. He said, it's not going to happen automatically. We have to command the enemy to give back seven times what he stole. All right?
That's good. That's good.
Then he said this. This is really cool. In the trenches or behind the scenes, you have labored together. So he was telling me, we went, the few of us that went there to do this work in Israel, but there were many more behind the scenes that labored with us, that were praying, interceding. So many of your listeners, when I sent in the what was going on in Israel, through Elijah List. And people were praying. So many people were praying. So many people from our church. All the people that have labored for Israel, God's saying, it took a concerted effort for what God wanted to do to be done. And it wasn't just one or two people. It was God using a body, the body of Christ. All right, so I'm going to read that again.
Yeah.
In the trenches, so we were in the trenches, or behind the scene, you have labored together. You needed one another, and we needed the combined efforts of all of you working together as one to fulfill this mandate to save Israel and the people of Iran. So that was the mandate. You remember I said he gave us assignments, kiss the paper, and it was to save Israel and the people of Iran. Okay. He said, this region will never be the same because my glory has invaded the land. My goodness will transform wicked governments and will inspire great faith in my people. He said, don't hold, and then this he was telling me, don't hold back my glory, because I feel such a responsibility that the glory has to be treated with honor.
Yeah.
And I don't want to release it where it would not be honored. Okay.
Yeah.
Treated casually. All right. So he said, don't hold back my glory, but continue to release my presence here. We were in Egypt. You carry a beautiful treasure held in an earthen vessel. What my people need even more than peace is my glory. Release my glory, daughter. And so I feel that that's an assignment for all of God's people, is that to just spend time in his presence, hunger and thirst and yearn for more of his presence. Spend time like dancing on the Sea of Galilee in intimate fellowship with Jesus, spending time alone with him. That's how, you know, Catherine Kuhlman said, there's a price to pay for the anointing. And there is a price to pay. That price is our time and our devotion. Spending time every day in his presence as we hunger for his presence. He promises, I'm going to satisfy the hungry. I will satisfy you. If we hunger for the things of the world, well, then that's another thing. But he's saying, hunger for me, hunger for my presence, be hungry for my glory. I will pour my glory out on you. And he says, after I pour my glory out on you, freely you have received, then freely give. Release my glory. He taught me, he said, now that you have my glory, he said, all you have to do is say, I release your glory, Lord. And he says, when you say that, my glory is going to fall on the people you release it. So I've been doing that for a few years now. And
yeah,
his glory. And so I know he's saying, I don't want one person doing this or five or 10. I want an army filled with my glory, releasing my glory all over the world, huh? Releasing his presence. Nations will be changed by his glory.
Yeah.
Governments changed by his glory. We're seeing that now, right before our eyes. Wicked governments are coming down, not just with what we saw in Iran, Venezuela.
Yeah.
We're seeing
it soon to be Cuba, probably Ukraine before long. You know, yeah, yeah. What a time to be alive on the earth, you know, and if what we're seeing now isn't as suddenly, it'll do till suddenly comes along, but you're describing new stuff that just happened and is about to happen. I'm pretty excited about it. So, you know, so, well, Donna, I want you to pray for the people, bless them before we get off, but did you want to show us a couple of conferences or anything, books real quick, and then we'll have you pray?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Well, go ahead and say whichever, and we'll put up whatever you call for.
Okay. I have a conference in May, and this is going to be in Minnesota, in Alexandria, Minnesota, with Linda Lentler and myself. She was on this tour to Israel with us, too.
Okay.
So it's going to be powerful. If anybody wants to go, just go. You can go to the website and click on there and sign up for it.
Okay.
It's a free event. Oh. And then I also have a picture of our Glory Revival Center. And I just feel like that now is the time that God's going to bring this forth, especially where my husband, David, is in construction. So,
remind me, is this a concept? Is this an artist rendering or is this an actual place?
This is a concept, an artist rendering. Yeah.
Okay.
So where I just know it's on the brink of happening now, where God wants us to have a place that will house his glory. People can come from all over the world and encounter the glory of God, be trained in how to host the presence of the Holy Spirit, okay? Yeah. How to encounter the glory and then release it, go forth and release the glory. And then I've got my book, The Glory of God Revealed, and I also have another book. These are both prophetic books. Divine Encounters, where the Lord brought me to hell and to heaven in Divine Encounters, and in Glory of God Revealed, a special place in heaven. For those who are glory seekers on the earth, I'll get a special reward when they get to heaven. And this is a beautiful mountain of glory that you get to visit and spend a lot of time there. It's beautiful, magnificent. Wow. And then I also have a book called Abused by the Church for people that have gotten wounded. And we've seen a lot of this now because judgment begins in the house of God. And we're seeing a lot of stuff being revealed that's been going on in the church. So a lot of wounded people. And this book helps bring healing and understanding and helps people to get reconnected back safely to a good church. And a 3-CD set that I did, where it teaches on the glory and how to soak in the glory, marinate in the glory, get more and more transformed into the image of Jesus by spending time in the glory. And this teaches you all about that. I'm not sure if there's anything else, if I had anything else. But I think that's
all right.
It.
Well, it looks really good. Do you want to go ahead and bless the people as we close out here?
All right. Absolutely. Oh, the greatest thing I'm going to do is release the glory. That's
go for
God,
it.
The best. He said, everything you need is in my glory. So, Father, I'm going to pray for you, Steve, specifically right now. All right. Father, I release your glory.
Yes, Lord. I release
your glory on everything that Steve puts his hand to. Lord God, I release your glory on Elijah Streams, Elijah List, on the wells, on everything that you've given Steve to do, that your glory would overshadow Steve, his wife, and all of his team. Oh, Flood them with your glory. Bring healing. Any areas in their body who need healing, I release your glory. Let healing flow from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Ooh, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I release your glory on every listener. Let your glory flood them, their homes, their family members. Ooh, I pray right now, I'm seeing the arms of God reaching out through the glory, pulling in the lost. Father, I ask right now that with your glory pouring out on each and every listener, that their lost, unsaved loved ones or backslidden loved ones will be pulled in close to your heart and be restored to you like the prodigal son coming home. Father, I release your glory on their finances. I release your glory on their health, on their minds. Mm-hmm. Their minds will be sharp and clear. I release your glory on all their relationships in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So good, Donna. So good. I'm glad you're back safe. God did such a miracle thing. Congratulations again on your marriage. And it's going to be a great rest of the year, isn't it? It's going to be exciting to keep getting together and comparing notes with God's all of a sudden. It's great. This is just a great time to be alive. So, all right, everybody. God bless you. Krista Elisha will be with me in the morning at 11 o'clock Pacific. She's a firebrand, and she's got always great revelation and to get you thinking one way or another prophetically. So don't miss that. She's a real crowd pleaser, if you could put it that way, because she brings in the glory. That's a real big deal with her. So, all right, everybody, have a great day. Thanks again, Donna, and we will see you all in the morning at 11 Pacific. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
This has been Elijah Streams. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Streams podcast at ElijahStreams.com, on Apple, and Spotify. Join us live every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific time at ElijahStreams.com, Rumble, and Facebook. Elijah Streams is part of Elijah List Ministries. Go to ElijahStreams.com/give to become a partner today.